In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The first epistle reading that we just heard is appointed for the Sunday before Theophany. And if you knew that that was what that reading was for, and if you were paying attention, you might have asked, why? Because there is no mention of Christ being baptized. There is no mention of St. John the Baptist. The gospel reading that we read that's appointed for today, it's pretty obvious how it's connected, because it's talking about St. John the Baptist preparing the way for Christ, and of course he is the one that baptized Christ, as we'll be celebrating beginning this evening and into Tuesday. But if you understood Greek, and if we had read the epistle in Greek, when you got to the very last verse, you probably would have figured out why it was appointed. The last verse says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And the word that we translate into English as appearing in Greek is the word that we get the word epiphany from. And that's another alternative name for this, the Feast of Theophany. Theophany means the appearance or the manifestation of God. Epiphany just means the appearance. But that's what the connection is. Now, of course, St. Paul here is not talking about Christ's first appearing. He's talking about his second appearing, the one that we look forward to. But his first coming and his second coming are not unconnected. It's his first coming and his incarnation, his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection that makes it possible for us to be saved, so that when he comes again, those of us that believe will see that as a day of hope and joy and blessedness, and so we can love his appearing. Now, to understand the context of the first epistle, we need to go back a couple of verses to the beginning of chapter 4. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. But if you look at chapter 3 at the very end of it, there's a section of scripture that we've talked about before, and that's the section that talks about how all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it says that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then chapter 4 begins. And again we hear St. Paul talking about Christ appearing. And he says to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now when he says, "I charge thee," this is a solemn charge to Timothy. It's not quite the same as calling down a curse on him if he didn't do what he said, but it's a strong way of saying, "I'm admonishing you to do what I'm telling you to do." And he references Christ, who shall come to judge the living and the dead, and he's saying this is important, because we want people to be saved, and for people to be saved, they need to hear the word that we, in the previous chapter, heard about how it was profitable. It's given by inspiration, and all scripture, St. Paul said, is given by inspiration, and it's all profitable, so it's important that we study it all. And when he says that we should be instant in season and out of season, when it's instant means be ready. There should never be a time when we're not ready to preach the word, and we preach it in season and out of season, which means that whether people want to hear it or not, we preach the word. There's never any time that's the wrong time for us to preach the word. But that he says that he should reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all doctrine. To reprove is to convict, and it has a suggestion that the person that's being convicted is shamed. To rebuke is to admonish someone sharply. To exhort, on the other hand, is to encourage. And so to exhort with long-suffering means to patiently encourage people, even though they may be having difficulties, to do the right thing. And when it says with doctrine, we have to be teaching them the right things, and it has to be in accordance with sound doctrine. And then he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So he's saying the day is going to come when people are not going to listen. So now is the time that you really need to preach the word. Now the question for us is, have we already gotten to that point? And I don't know that we've gotten to the point that it's as bad as it's going to get. But I would definitely say that we already see a lot of people who won't endure a sound doctrine because they're turned aside by their lust and they heap unto themselves teachers that are going to say what they want to hear, that'll tickle their itching ears. People don't want to hear the truth. There are certain things that the church has always taught that people want to reject. And especially in our time, the moral teachings of the church are under assault. And when St. Paul talks about doctrine, he specifically talks about sound doctrine as referring to moral behavior, not just theoretical doctrines or teachings about Christ that are all, of course, important, but living according to sound doctrine means that you live a life according to the gospel, that you live according to the teachings of the church. And so it's important that we at least not be among those people that won't endure sound doctrine. And we shouldn't want to give up on the rest of society. We don't know who will and will not endure sound doctrine, but we have to preach the word regardless, whether it's in season or out of season. Then he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So what he means by that is be on guard, stay tough, don't give up, do your job as a preacher of the gospel and fulfill your ministry. Acquit yourself well. Now, not everyone is called to be a clergyman, of course, but all of us have some ministry that we're charged to fulfill. We all have been given certain gifts to serve the body of Christ, the church. And so all of us have an admonishment from the scriptures to do what it is that we've been called to do. And that, if you don't know what you've been called to do, there are certain things all of us have been called to do. All of us have been called to live according to the gospel. All of us have been called to be good witnesses, but there are certain things that God has called you to do, and you need to seek God's will in your life and try to do that and be diligent about it. Then St. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." St. Paul is handing off the baton to the next generation, to St. Timothy, because his life is almost over. He's in prison, and he's expecting to be martyred at any moment. And he's ready to meet his Maker. And what a joy it would be at the end of our lives if we could say the same thing that he said, if we could say that we have poured out our life for Christ, if we could say that we fought a good fight, that we finished the race that was set before us to run. We ran through the tape. We didn't get lazy and start walking the last couple laps. And we kept the faith. We preserved that which we were taught, and we passed it on faithfully. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to Christ returning? Are you prepared for that? And are you pouring out your life for the Savior who appeared at the manger and was manifest to the world at his baptism in the Jordan? If you will fight the good fight and run the race to the end, and if you will keep the faith, there is also laid up for you a crown of righteousness which will be given to you at Christ's second coming. Amen.